Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Toronto, on the eve of the mayoral election, and I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing to the National Post about the candidates for the mayoralty of the wonderful city of Toronto, which remains an ambition of mine to visit. I've been to Montreal, been to Quebec, but not Toronto yet. And I learned that Toronto has an unusual style. There are 102 candidates for the mayor's office. Conrad, 102? Why not 110? How does this happen? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, you see, we had a three-term mayor who was quite popular and successful and was effectively a fusion candidate of the two leading political parties. Officially, we don't have party politics in mayoral elections, but informally we do. And this man was really the choice of the Liberals and the Conservatives. And but he abruptly resigned because of a sort of minor peccadillo that wasn't in itself nothing to resign about, but it caused pressures in his family. So he chose to step down in the middle of his term. So there was absolutely no thought of a successor. So everybody under the sun came out of the woodwork to run for the job. And it really only the top few people are people that any significant number or share of the population had heard of before. You've got several city councillors and a former education minister of the province and the widow of a former leader of the federal opposition running, and a well-known journalist. But apart from that, there are 95 other people and nobody knows anything about them. And they all together, they don't add up to too much of the likely vote. But, you know, the vegetarians and the sort of religious groups and every conceivable splinter group is running a candidate for mayor. So it's sort of entertaining in a way, if you look into it.
Is it first past the post who achieves the biggest percentage? Yeah,
that's it. There's no runoff to get a majority. Whoever gets the largest total gets it, even if it's only 20% of the vote. If that's the largest total anyone gets, they're the mayor. That's the next mayor.
You've identified seven of the 102 that are credible and two of the 102 that represent the left and the right. Let's begin with the veteran and the widow of Olivia Chow. What is her presentation to be mayor? What is she a dream for Toronto?
Well, she, to be fair, she's not only the widow of the former federal leader of the opposition. She has been a city councillor over the years, I think for a total of 8 terms or something like that. So she's a well-known figure in municipal affairs in her own right. But she is she's a moderate leftist. She thinks that it's a good thing to encourage bicycling and take more of the roads, even in the downtown area, away from cars and give them to bicycles, bicyclists exclusively. And she buys into this theory that it would be useful to send certain types of social workers out with the police on emergency calls. And, you know, the kind of soft left, but not hard left view of things. We just have to be kinder and gentler and a little more patient. So that kind of left of center view. We must have state ownership of everything, and we must raise taxes on well-to-do people. She doesn't get into that kind of thing at all. It's a moderate leftish view based in the opinion of those who don't share her views on an unduly and unjustifiably optimistic and benign view of human nature, that if we're just a little nicer, everyone else will be nicer also. It's that kind of an approach. She's a perfectly nice lady, but the concern of those who are not her supporters is that if she is elected, things will just get worse. We'll get more homeless people, more drug addicts, and things will just get worse, not radically worse, but worse.
And on the other end of these are the seven of the 102 so far, could be more, is Anthony Fury, who you emphasize is a capitalist. He believes in profit making and he's not a politician. What are his ambitions?
Well, he is advocating engaging 500 more police and deploying them in the subways, especially to make sure. I mean, as I say, we don't have a problem at this stage of violence in the subways, but we do have a problem of sort of loiterers and malingerers and drug addicted people and homeless people. In the winter, you get the homeless, you know, migrating into the subway stops and stations a lot, and you get sort of unsanitary and annoying people bothering people in the subway, not violently, but just bothering people and being unsanitary. And Anthony Fury wants to put, as I say, engage 500 more police and ensure a higher standard of safety and avoidance of inconvenience in the subway. And
the way life used to be, and that's what you're talking about, Conrad. The 20th century we grew up in, order in the cities and without the threats on the street, the old ways.
Exactly. And the subway was a way of getting quickly from one place to another, not running the risk of being harassed by annoying people. And he also wants to eliminate a tax on sale of residential property. There's a municipal tax on that that brings in quite a lot of money. And he proposes to eliminate that. And he thinks he can make up for that by reducing non-essential spending by the city, though as usual in these things, he's not overly precise about that. But the message essentially is lower taxes, and encouragement of more business activity and development. The city is booming as it is. It's a forest of building cranes from one, you know, from end to end, and more police and less sort of irritation to the pedestrians. And an issue that's bubbled up here is this whole thing of bicycle lanes. I mean, the former mayors, the last couple of mayors, have put bicycle lanes all over the place, including in the busiest streets, bringing people from the suburbs. I mean, not on the expressways, but on the big streets that do go between the suburbs and the city core, putting bicycle lanes there. Now, in this climate, they're not usable other than to completely eccentric people in tiny numbers. They're not usable for 5 months of the year. Only 5% of the people use them, even in temperate months such as now. And the net effect of them, in theory, they're supposed to encourage fitness, but they don't. And they're supposed to reduce air pollution by causing people to go in greater numbers onto public transit or bicycle. And the fact is it merely congests the space available to automobiles, so you'll get the cars idling and stopping much more than they otherwise would, creating more pollution from the exhaust of automobiles, and it makes the matters that are designed to be alleviated worse rather than better. The whole thing is absurd. And he's made a big issue out of this. He is clearly getting some support.
Yes, and your column points to Anthony Fury as for the road ahead. Is that correct? We just have a few seconds.
Yeah, he's my recommendation. He's the only one who basically says, I'm a capitalist. We'll deal with increasing homelessness and illegality by ensuring that the homeless actually take advantage of the welfare system, which provides shelters for them. But for their own purposes, some of them choose not to use that. And so he promises to avoid any drift towards the problems that we see on television bedevil many of your cities in the U.S.
Conrad Black, writing for the National Post. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.